It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo,
South America,
Australia,
France,
Germany,
UK,
Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 28th day of June, 2023. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, madcap, multimedia extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the hours during which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time, all time zones in between and the Great Globe Round, and whatever time it is where you're listening to the podcast. And so, if in fact you are listening to the podcast, I will implore you, please, in the name both of myself and of Brother Deacon Asa and the poor little algorithms out there, like the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, follow the podcast, whatever the podcast says you're doing when you make sure that you get every episode, do that little thing. Leave a comment for the poor little forlorn algorithms. And, that was interesting. Maybe tell your friends. Share with your neighbors. Because this is a community that's been 20 years in the making, and I really would love to share it with others. Unfortunately, you know, there's no advertising budget. Not much of a budget at all, really, when you get right down to it. But, yeah, please do that. Now, it's sincerely appreciated all by not just me, not just Brother Deacon Asa, but by the entire community when you help advance the community itself. Hi, I'm Robin. And if you do happen to be listening live right now, well, by Jove, you can run over to HeadOn.live and click on chat room, and you'll be, pick out a screen name and a password, and just that easy. You'll be there in the merry, wacky, zany, etc., and greeted by the early arrivers who would happen to be Anatole and Squeaky and Theo. Hey, y'all. Happy prayer meeting, I guess. Hi, Theo. Thanks for the rose. Much obliged. Every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. As a consequence, we say thank you to our 28th day of the month subscribers. That means thank you. Thank you so very much to Charlene and Rogues Island, and thanks to Suman, and thanks to Sharon. Thank you so much, all of you, for helping to keep this little independent, non-capitalist, advertiser-free community going year after year after year. Thank you. Thank you. Now, here we are. It is at least nominally prayer meeting Wednesday, and we probably got some prayer meeting stuff to delve into, and we've also got probably what we might consider some carryover from Morin Monday, and Titanic Tuesday. And if you happen to be listening, Texas T, I got a giggle out of that. I got an image in social media from a buddy, Texas T, Ariel, under the sea. And she just happens to have a game controller in her hand. Too soon? Asked Texas T. Oh, well, I didn't think so. Reference, of course, to the libertarian death thermos. But I would be remiss if I did not note that it is, in fact, Prayer Meeting Wednesday. And the little old blue-haired ladies, and the little old blue-haired men, and the little old blue-haired non-binaries, down in the fellowship hall of the Cathedral of Common Sense, had a they had a real treat for us today. Yes. Some fresh strawberries, some nice salad greens, some champagne vinaigrette, a little bit of grilled chicken, and oh, it was just absolutely a perfect summer repast. I don't know how they made the champagne vinaigrette, though. I wonder if they got into the sacramental champagne. They seem unwilling to. But since it was a strawberry salad, they went ahead and stayed with the theme, and there was strawberry shortcake for dessert. And although the deacons were not at all, I personally love the salad. The deacons, they tend to favor something more substantial, with, you know, starchy things like potatoes and whatnot. But Lord, they went after the strawberry shortcake with a will. Little old blue-haired ladies and little old blue-haired men and the little old blue-haired non-binaries also whipped up a few gallons of wonderful sweet tea with strawberry puree in it. And it was just kind of a pink strawberry kind of fellowship hall prayer meeting Wednesday repast sort of moment. Yeah. But then they did, in fact, trundle their massive bulk, the deacons did. They trundled their massive bulk up the couple of flights of stairs and out into the parking lot where they took to smoking with the sinners. They tend to chain smoke out there. I remember when I was one of them, and I, too, would smoke. But I'm, what did the Pineapple Prince once say? In my formerly nicotine-stained fingers, So I don't do that anymore, but I try to give them a chance to hotbox a couple of them before I go out and wave the Cathedral of Common Sense solar-powered cattle prod at them. And then bodies at rest tend to remain at rest, and deacons in motion tend to remain in motion. And they thundered past me through the vestibule, past that desiccating bowl of butter mints, and grabbed a couple of swigs of hand sanitizer on the way in. The deacons are kind of deplorable sometimes. Some of them have developed a taste for the hand sanitizer. But they're down here, down front, and they've got their heavy brass-bound, velvet-lined, burgundy velvet-lined plates, collection plates in hand, and they're going to begin moving through the congregation as we begin with the offertory hymn. There's a PayPal button in the bottom of the offertory plates, and just press it, pass it to your neighbor next to you. Try not to brain them with it, because the damn things are terribly, terribly, terribly heavy. And hopefully we will come down from our... Look, here's the bottom line, y'all. It's going to take $2,300 to end June fully funded. As it stands, that's almost, that's closer to 2 weeks of half the month unfunded than it is to 1 week of the
program unfunded, and that makes independent, non-commercial, non-capitalist radio kind of hard to maintain. So bear that in mind as the deacons move among you, as I call the Minister of Music up to get this here prayer meeting Wednesday started. Amen and amen.
And he said, it's time for you to leave behind the things of this world. The fine houses, the fancy cars, the flashy clothes, because we are all naked in the eyes of the Lord.
Stop! This man is clinically insane.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little plate when it comes around.
And it's all tax-free.
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stop the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. I love you. Welcome. Welcome, brethren and sistren and nibblings, to Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Ha! Glory, amen. I am haven't done this in a little while. Archpope, Uber Rabbi, Ultimate Imam, Animated Animist, Antagonist, Agnostic, Vicarious Vicar, Maximum Metropolitan, Naughty Nun, Ambivalent Abbess, Robin Kincaid. And this is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the Horn. How glory, I'm calling on you to get up out of your seats and onto your feet and scrunch and screech and scrunch and wiggle and waggle and waddle and come on out from betwixt the pews, and careful where you swing anything lest you hit somebody with the pew, and come on down that blood red aisle and fall sinners upon your knees at the altar. Lay, amen, lay your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of common sense flowing through you from the server on high. Amen and amen. I'm telling you, brethren and sistren, we got examples of mighty works being accomplished. In the name of Jesus, all over the new 90 states of America, the greatest country in the history of the world on earth, now, today, forever in the universe, under God. Hey! Yes. And why don't we start out in, oh, this looks promising, out in South Dakota stand, brethren and sisters and nibblings. Out in South Dakota stand,
They got a member of their legislature out there by the name of Representing Joe Donnell. And he is a fine, fine, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Republican Christian. And he was in fellowship with a bunch of absolute lulus, you know, cue balls and the like, at something called Open the Heavens, Let God Arise. I always have questions when anybody starts talking about letting God do this or letting God do that. It seems might presumptuous, really, when you get right down to it, to be talking about letting the most powerful deity in the entire universe, the creator thereof and whatnot, letting them do anything. I mean, did old Jehovah have to mother May I the Open the Heavens gang to come to Rapid City? One of the organizers of the Open the Heavens, Let God Arise Cue Ball Festival was some particular individual by the name of Mary Crowley. And being as how Mount Rushmore is in his state, he wanted to tell Mary Crowley, honey, you don't need that much filler, just saying. Just exactly what Mount Rushmore is. Y'all get yourself a hockey puck, a little bit of duct tape, because you wouldn't want to bother the neighbors when you start to hooting at what you're about to hear. Don't say you wasn't warned. Amen. Heck. Because this right here is some top shelf right wing dumbassery is what this is.
If you go back and do some history on Mount Rushmore, it actually is a Freemason shrine. It was called a shrine all the way in the back in the newspapers. It was said, it was spoken about for what it was. Just like Crazy Horse Mountain. The guy who did that was a Mason as well. And so, so I've been on assignments over there.
Hold on. Crazy Horse was a Freemason? Wherever my people are, there my spirit will be as well, that Crazy Horse? Never mind the fact that where Mount Rushmore is, well, that's not even its name, but Lakota people consider it to be a sacred mountain that has been defiled and defamed by the presence of, George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and Thomas Jefferson and Theodore Roosevelt. Don't blame me. Oh, and by the way, Mary Crowley is apparently a doctor. She's one of those doctors that couldn't put a Band-Aid on without sending somebody to the hospital in need of critical care. No offense, but she could take some lessons from drag queens on, honey, too much.
In one assignment I went on, God told me that he was going to expose the evil eye. So I was like, okay, what does that mean? So I go over there and I start walking and I start finding all these stakes, these engineering stakes in the ground with the evil eye on them with the triangle. And I was like,
You actually saw these wood stakes that were
They're metal stakes. They're metal. Okay. They're those engineering, the top of the engineering stake.
Okay.
And then as I
kind of gave the game away, didn't he? They were engineering stakes. They were stakes for, I don't know, surveying. But they had the triangle with the evil eye on them. Well, that's to ward off the evil eye, dipshit. Don't you know anything about science?
I began to do my research more. I realized that it was set up to enshrine democracy or the Declaration of Independence. It was to enshrine or to give, I don't know how you say a shrine, but a shrine is a place of worship. How do we worship our great thing we did with our government, right? And so,
I love it when people like, now bear in mind, the guy you hear talking, the cis dude, is actually a new kidding member of the legislature of the state of, well, South Dakota state. One of those people that thinks that, like, oh, I don't know, Christy the gnome is the bee's knees, I guess. I don't make the rules. But this crazy dude gets to vote on bills that touch the lives of every single person in the state of South Dakota stand. And appears nobody's ever told him, this is appropriate, seeing how July the 4th is coming up, nobody's ever told him that there's not a single law set forth within the Declaration of Independence. I mean, they're just, well, it just isn't. It's a propaganda document. It's a, oh, I don't know, it's a mission statement in modern parlance. Not a legal document.
Well, that was the idea behind it. And so now the Freemasons went down and put a tunnel in there, or a cave in there. And then,
have you been to the cave? Have you seen the cave?
Well, I've seen the cave, but I've not been in it. They wouldn't let us go in it. I guess no one can go in except certain people. So basically it was closed up, but that's what we're dealing with. And what the Lord revealed to me is that this Mount Rushmore has a direct ley line to Washington, D.C. And he said basically that as we continue to work in prayer and do the work of the ministry, that God was going to break that connection, because it's like,
I mean, do any of the, you're hearing this, I'm hearing this, I'm having a problem. Do any of these words actually mean anything in relation to the other words, break the link between Mount Rushmore and Washington, D.C.? What kind of maggot is this guy? It wasn't but a few years ago, that Nitwit Nero was out there with Christy Gnome trying to set fire to the entire upper plains, setting off fireworks there in front of Mount Rushmore during a freaking pandemic. I'm so old I can remember that, and I can't keep up with these idiots.
In order to understand the spiritual realm of what we're facing, we have to realize that in order for the enemy to do anything...
How high do you have to get to do this? And meanwhile, poor Dr. Mary Crowley... Dr. Crowley... Sorry, that's my bad Ozzy Osbourne impression. Don't do that, Robin. We're trying to finish the month of June, not completely devastated financially. Dr. Crowley, I'm just itching to know what she's a doctor in. Yeah, but anyway, let's hear some more words.
He needs the agreement of human beings.
Stop tapping on the microphone. That's not me, like, damn it.
In order to be empowered to do more damage, he needs the agreement of human beings. And oftentimes that comes in the form of an altar, an active altar that acts as a portal for demonic things. And so that's what we're dealing with. And people that are into that are brought into it because they...
At this point in time, I'm not sure that Dr. Mary Crowley isn't some sort of AI creation. She looks like the kind of AI art that maybe Scary Jerry would have put together. So, she doesn't move a lot. And I think she's Botox within an inch of her existence because... Yeah, her face ain't going much. I mean, not a twitch, nothing.
Think they're doing good.
Oh, wait. She nodded.
Some of them, they think they're doing the right
thing. Go ahead, Dr. Mary. Try to smile. I dare you.
Thing, and then we have all kinds of people that are trying to get into Native practices, New Age religion. And that's like a hotbed for all that. And so when I go into the Black Hills, I really have to prepare myself because there's a lot of stuff going on.
You know, somewhere in the Black Hills of South Dakota, there lived a young boy named Rocky Raccoon. Mm-hmm. One day, Rocky's woman ran off with another guy. Hit young Rocky in the eye. Rocky said, I'm going to get that boy. Rocky Raccoon walked into his room, only to find Gideon's Bible. Every time I hear the Black Hill, whatever.
But I just know that God is doing something. Even Donald Trump's landing in the Black Hills at Mount Rushmore.
Oh, Dr. Mary actually moved, and now she's trying to. She's touching her face to find out if she has feeling therein. Love your nails, girl.
Rushmore, July 4th, when the Governor Kristi Noem put the message out that fireworks are returning to South Dakota, that was a prophetic word. And God spoke to me. He said, when Donald Trump's...
God spoke through fireworks? What? Sparklers, Snap-It, B-2 bombs, cherry bombs? What's the list from Joe Dirt?
Steps foot on this territory, he said, there's something that's going to be done as far as the Constitution being upheld. It's going to...
Not very specific these days, old Yahweh, is he? There's something going to be done with the Constitution. You know, we're back to, what was his name? John... John Edward? God said something's going to be done, and it starts with an A. Maybe it doesn't start with an A, it starts with a B. No, I'm getting a sense now that what God's going to do starts with the letter C. Maybe D?
Bring a breakthrough with the Constitution. And I kind of got the feeling that what we're really dealing with in that portal is communism. That would...
I'm personally just kind of astonished. This is... Whew! And if she could move her face, I think Dr. Mary Crowley would probably be a little stunned in her own right. But at least this guy's talking, and that means she doesn't have to. And it's probably not easy for her.
Witchcraft. Altar and those things that are happening in the Black Hills is what we're really dealing with is communism. It's the idea of
communism
and all the demonic entities and spirits behind.
Now wait, I thought yesterday that Rick Scott said all the communists were. I told him not to visit Florida. Wow, you'd better, you commies, you better stay away from the Black Hills of South Dakota and Mount Rushmore and its demonic telegraph line to Washington D.C. Freemasons. Now, you just heard all those words I strung together. It doesn't make any more sense when I say them either, does it?
That.
And Dr. Mary Crowley barely even moved. And she was the organizer, by the way, of the Open the Heavens, Let God Arise conference. Girl needs a good cue ball conference every now and then to pay for that much work. Filler ain't cheap. I don't know. I'm looking at her. I'm thinking she might not be cis. Oh, my goodness. Look who all came to the Open the Heavens, Let God Arise. Dr. Mary Crowley, Manuel Johnson, Kelly Hawley, Marcus Rogers, Andrew Whalen, Donna Rigney, Kelly R. Patterson, Tim Price, Tanya Joy Gibson, Joe Donnell, Jill Noble, Rick B2T, Angel and Lori Wilson. Right there on 444 Mount Rushmore Road North. The Bobby Cummings and Beyond the Veil Band provided the entertainment. Tickets were available through MaryCrowley.com. A weekend pass was only $77. $177 if you wanted the VIP pass. And on Friday, they had a free youth night. I guess they had free youths. These free youths. Mary Crowley Ministries. She's got a subpage on tonight's Hollywood Zoom. I confess I'm curious about the subpage of her videos. I clicked on it, but oddly enough, nothing happens. She apparently does not have a brother deacon running her webpage. She's out there hustling things like set the captives free and Operation Fury. Come experience the fire of God. Ouch! No, stay away. Don't you touch me. Matt in San Francisco said, the Lord told me. That wasn't the Lord. That was the meth. The need to constantly tap the microphone. I don't think either one of those are screwed down particularly tight. But that wasn't the only meet up get together of the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christians. Josh Hawley, masculine man of masculinity Manning, spoke up at the Faith and Freedom Coalition, which we're still dealing with because, well, it's just too much. It's too content-rich to let any of it go. And this, they gave him Friday morning. Didn't quite qualify for the headliner slots. You can probably guess what Josh Hauling Ass, masculine man of masculine masculinity man, had to say. And thank you, Roger. Roger got us started on trying to knock down the fundraising goal from, well, down to something manageable with the beginning of July. Thank you, Roger. We're down to $2,250. Thank you so much. And Ralph said, I'm offering a $25 challenge for Mary Beard's New Yorker article about Roman emperors. I sent the link. I saw it. I can't wait to read it. Mary Beard is absolutely a delight to read, to see her videos. If you like Roman history, there's nobody quite like her. And she's an Oxford Don and everything. So the next 25 bucks that rolls in will get doubled by Ralph's, and that'll get us down to $2,200 to finish the month. That's a little over $700 a night between now and Friday. I hope that can happen. It would be wonderful if it could. Anyway, Josh Hauling Ass, he knows what the problem is. I do too, but it's not the same thing.
It is always good to be with some patriotic, Bible-believing, God-fearing Americans.
Lay off my shtick.
Or as Joe Biden calls you, threats to our democracy. Hey, I tell you what, let me just get my confessions in right up front here. I'm proud to be here as a conservative, but much more important than that, I am proud to be here as a follower of Jesus Christ.
What the hell you are?
I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. And I just say this to our friends on the left who are constantly telling us that faith and politics have to be separated, that we as Christians are supposed to keep our beliefs and our faith and our expression inside the church walls. I just say, no way, no how, not in the United States of America. There is not one.
I wonder if this sounds better in the original Farsi. Just asking.
Square inch of all creation over which Jesus Christ is not Lord. And there is not one square inch of...
Does that include... Now, this is only a tangential reference, so don't give me any hell. Does that include, say, 13,000 feet below the North Atlantic, about 400 miles off the St. John's, Newfoundland coast, where the libertarian death thermos imploded? Yeah, where's your Jesus now, huh? Where's your Jesus? Because I'm pretty sure those were not liberal Democrats in that libertarian death thermos.
Of this country or the problems we face that the Bible does not have something to say about.
Run, you little
and
bastard,
it is
run!
Time for Christians to be bold again and to take the lead again. Listen, you know, in every hour of this country's danger, in every moment of trying, Christians have risen to help lead this country and to help lead.
Really? Where were they on, January 6th, 2021, where were they? Oh, wait, they were part of the domestic terrorists who were attacking the capital of the United States in hopes of setting up a violent theocracy. Oopsie.
The way. We did it in the first Great Awakening that helped move this country toward revolution and independence. We did it in the abolitionist movement that fought for decades to eliminate the scourge of slavery. And, you know, in this month when we have a federal holiday where we recognize the abolition of slavery in this country, can I just tell a truth here again that the left...
Because his ability to tell truths has been so viciously suppressed.
...finds hard to believe. Here it is. Christianity is the faith, and America is the place that slavery came to die.
See, the funny thing is, he tried to say that and got absolutely roasted for it because, well, Christianity was the argument in favor of the enslavement of tens of millions of people stolen from Africa and brought to these shores. In fact, the very book that Josh Hollenass says is so holy says, slaves, obey your masters. Not just to make them happy when they're looking at you, but when their eyes aren't on you, too. Doesn't sound like slavery doing a lot of dying there, does it?
And we should be proud of that. Christians were the ones. It was Christians who led the evangelical reform movement in the last century that protected the family by ending child labor in this country.
What? Child labor was at least significantly curtailed under the Fair Labor Standards Act, which Republicans have hated from the moment that it was passed unto this very moment today, right now, here. And which, you know, maggot governors like Governor Jethrine Bodine there in Arkansas are doing everything they can to, to obviate.
By limiting the working hours for men in the factories to protect them so they can come home to their families, so they get the Sabbath day off and be able to worship the Lord.
No. Josh... I know, you sound terribly butch and masculine and everything saying that. I mean, my goodness gracious, I think you're probably growing chest hairs and you're prostate's probably enlarging even as you're speaking. You're so masculine. But the people that created the five-day work week were unions. And a lot of those people were very definitely not Christians. In fact, in the early days of the union movement in the United States, companies hired preachers to preach against unions, to preach against organizing, to, well, in the case of Billy Graham, to preach that unions were communism. But then again, Josh Hawley's an evangelical Christian, so that's just a fancy way of saying he's a liar.
No, at every moment, at every time, Christians have risen to lead, and now it's time again.
Yeah, time again to do what, Josh Holland asks? Attack the capital of the United States again? Is that what you got in mind? And then that same Faith and Freedom Coalition's Road to Majority Conference, you know, we had the clip yesterday of Nitwit Nero making porn film moans and groans and grunts. Well, they ate it up there, though. He's the one who got the keynote last Saturday night. He told the assembled mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing, snake-handling, Crisco-anointing, floor-rolling, tongue-speaking freaks. We are warriors. By the way, dumb orange bastard's hardly ever even been in a church. Got near to one back in 2020 and held up a Bible upside down. I mean, we're warriors in a righteous crusade to stop the arsonists, the atheists, globalists, and the Marxists. And I'm talking about Harpo, Chico, I'm Groucho, even Zeppo. And we will restore our republic, believe me, as one nation under God with liberty and justice for all. And then he went on to talk about how he'd been indicted. And when I get back in the Oval Office, I will totally obliterate the deep state. Among others there were Richard Viguerie, who's got to be 100 years old by now, and former Arkansas governor and presidential candidate and Fox News blowhard and snake oil diabetes cure salesman Mike Huckabee. Richard Viguerie said there's a spiritual civil war that the left has launched against Western civilization, America, our Constitution, Judeo-Christian moral values, and much else we value at home. I like that much else that we value at home part. Apple pie? Chevrolets, reliable internet. North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson was also there. He said,
this nation is at war, and we need a warrior at the helm.
And bent down and kissed Nitwit Nero's hairy toe. He went on to say that he, Mark Robinson, was like Union soldiers at Gettysburg or the Marines on Iwo Jima. And having said a lot of crazy shit about the LGBTQ community, he said, only look crazy to people who are insane. Ron Monkey Up DeClantis was there. He barked on and on about the woke mind virus. Fortunately, you don't have to wear a mask to stop the woke mind virus. All you have to do is send money to Ron Monkey Up DeClantis. We did not start this fire beep, boop, beep, marp. But as President of the United States, I will lead the effort to extinguish the fire of cultural Marxism. Beep, boop. Once, beep, and for boop, all. And assembled good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christians lapped that up like a kitty over a dish of cream, too. And you know what happens when the kitty eats the dish of cream. Kitties aren't supposed to have cream. It gets nasty. Indiana member of the House and candidate for Senate, Jim Banks, said that he is going to create an anti-woke caucus in the House Republicans. And then proceeded to go on and on about the transes and how we're part of the deep state. Yeah, Moms for Liberty, sit, Liberty, sit. That well-funded AstroTurf tax-exempt grift were there barking about parents' rights and talking about how, you know, a book with watercolor paintings of seahorses can't be in our schools. It's transing the children. I'm just kind of grateful that they don't have power yet. But God help us all, not just people like me. God help us all. If they do get power. And I don't fully necessarily know what the hell this is, but by the way, there's something coming up. Religion News Service reported on it. There's a big Catholic to-do coming up called the, and I'm not kidding, the Synod on Synodality. S-Y-N-O-D on Synodality. They're having a synod to talk about being a synod. And, you know, okay, because I've been involved in meetings to plan the next meeting. Doesn't get much done, but the foundation granters seem to like them. But apparently there are Roman Catholics who are intent on barking at and grunting at the Synod on Synodality about Pope Frank not sufficiently hating the queers enough. Religion News Service saying, call out one of the left's favorite cardinals for his public statements on LGBTQ issues? You're implicitly defying Francis, who appointed the prelate and the Pope's social justice agenda. Defend the church's ban on contraception by pointing out its harmful health effects on women? Ugh, can't you see Francis wants to end the church's obsession with pelvic issues? Did I miss something? Are they pelvic issues? It's not exactly like Pope Frank's gone all woke or anything. Saying, hey, why don't you not murder the queers is not exactly a ringing endorsement of, well, he hasn't been seen at a pride celebration yet. You know, Vatican City pride is not a thing yet. And he's still out there saying that abortion is a white glove Nazi crime, or that abortion is like hiring a hitman. Make it stop. It's just tiring and stupid. And I guess I would be remiss in so far as, you know, this program is sort of a first draft of history. If the multi-limbed amorphous aliens on Norblap 9 happen to be listening, it's shitty here in North America right now. All along the Gulf Coast and through Texas, they're crossing the 100-degree mark and hotter than hell in a heat wave, and then the upper Midwest and all the way to here. I mean, I had to run errands today. Oh, by the way, happy news. The really scary squeak in the front end of my car is now gone. Had to go back over to the garage today. They took all the wheels off and figured there might be some grit or a rock or something doing it. It was an ugly sound. But as soon as I got out on the road, I called home and I told Annette to make sure that neither she nor Ferg, because they both deal with some asthma issues, both of y'all stay in the house. Don't go outside. Because the smoke was visible and smellable. And it may have, looking back at it, it may have accounted for why I felt so yucky yesterday. I mean, I woke up yesterday morning and it felt like somebody turned me upside down and poured my head full of Quikrete. My eyes were burning and I wasn't even thinking about the smoke, but yeah, that makes sense. And so it turns out that more than a third of the people of the United States of America are dealing with air quality alerts from the Canadian wildfires. Don't make us come up there and put out your fires, y'all. But I did get to thinking about it. All that Canadian forest land. God, what's it going to look like when they finally burn out? 120 million Americans are under the air quality alerts. And Chicago, Cleveland, Detroit, Indianapolis are all in the area that's noted as being very unhealthy. Supposed to get a little bit better in the Great Lakes region of the United States tomorrow. And Canada literally has hundreds of wildfires blazing across the country. 250 of them are out of control. That, according to the Canadian Interagency Forest Fire Center. The entire state of New York, Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, Delaware, and Maryland are all under air quality alerts. The whole darn state, parts of Kansas are, parts of Missouri are, parts of Minnesota, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia, and North Carolina are as well. No mention of poor old West Virginia, but, yeah. Ah, they're hillbillies. They breathe that shit all the time. They're used to it. And in the most shitty of areas, there are advisories out. Listen, if you have to be out, put on an N95 mask.
You're not the boss of me. I didn't wear one during the fake pandemic, and I'm not going to wear one during the fake forest fires to keep from breathing all this here fake smoke, neither.
Code Red Alert went out for most of the Midwest and the Ohio Valley today. The Code Red warning was for Chicago, Indianapolis, Pittsburgh, and Erie. Columbus, Ohio, and Fort Wayne, Indiana, and Madison, and Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And on Tuesday night, and this is saying something, as when you live on a planet that has Beijing on it, Chicago and Detroit, Chicago, it says, oh, God damn it, Chicago, because all you have to do is say Chicago, and some maggot somewhere will start bleeding and grunting and squeaking and shrieking. on the entirety of planet Earth, Tuesday night, Chicago and Detroit had the worst air quality anywhere. Anywhere. Like I said, Beijing. I mean, this is like London in the 1850s or Pittsburgh in the 1890s. People felt burnings in their throats and the like. It was bad. Still is. You couldn't even see to cross the Mackinac Bridge in Michigan on Tuesday. As I drove across the New River Gorge Bridge this evening, I've mentioned that I've tried to become really mindful of just how special this place is, and I'll glance out into the gorge as I'm driving that mile across that magnificent chasm down to the, at the bottom of which is the second oldest river on Earth. I drive across and I say, my goodness gracious, I sure do live in a beautiful place. Because I do. But it was hard to tell how beautiful the New River Gorge was today because, well, sometimes you drive across and it's absolutely magnificent because it looks like the river itself is trying to fly and clouds literally rise up from the bottom, from the floor of the gorge and come toward the arch of the bridge. It wasn't that today. The gorge was just full of smoke. And having places on the planet that are prone to catching fire real easy comes with climate change. You know, the Chinese hoax. Visibility on the roads was garbage in Indianapolis, too. The Northeast Ohio Area-Wide Coordinating Agency, that's the NOACA, NOACA, sounds like something intestinal. They put out an air quality advisory and said fine particulate levels would be in the unhealthy range, and the particulates are PM2.5. The EPA has two standards for airborne particulates, PM10 and PM2.5. And PM2.5 is far more dangerous than PM10. Maybe we get some relief by the weekend. And then we'll set off a bunch of fireworks all across the country and make things worse again. So, well, this will probably happen next year, too. And the year after that, and the year after that, and the year after that. Until we do something about climate change. But of all the places suffering through the smoke and the heat, nothing can touch Texas. This week, Texas has been among the hottest places on Earth. And that includes the Sahara Desert and the Persian Gulf. San Angelo and Del Rio, Texas, have crossed the 110-degree Fahrenheit mark this week. More likely to see that in North Africa and the Middle East, but oh well. Maybe just think of Texas as a great big Dubai. And then there's the laughably named Electric Reliability Council of Texas that runs the grid in Texas. Those are the, didn't they have a hand in causing anointed booger-eating future king of America, Senator Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, to light out for Cancun a couple of winters ago? Well, they said Tuesday saw a preliminary all-time high electric usage in Texas. And demand for air conditioning went way up. They were expecting another record to be set today. We'll find out about that tomorrow. And over at the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, fire Fauci, prosecute Fauci, put Fauci in prison. Sorry. Said that emergency department visits had gone up by at least 30% compared to the same time last year in Texas. And so, since May 1st, surface air temperatures have soared over Mexico and the central and southern United States. Climate Central, a nonprofit outfit, recently said that human-caused global warming made this month's heat wave in Texas and Mexico at least 5 times more likely to occur. Mm-hmm. We're going to keep mining that damn coal, no matter how many tornadoes land on giant strip mines, and no matter how many people die. And everything that's happening there is going to get worse. Earlier today, the National Weather Service said that the heat dome causing all of this will expand northward into the middle Mississippi Valley, bringing high temperatures that will not cool off much overnight, and much of the South will likely experience extreme heat and humidity that will be with us through the July 4th holiday weekend. Well, maybe it'll help sales of Bud Light rebound. But it's just climate change. Climate change is everybody knows. The Orange God Emperor says it's a Chinese hoax. Believe me, totally a Chinese hoax. Hey! Texas maggots! How's that Chinese hoax working out for you there, bub? And I can snark and be sarcastic, but it has real-world consequences. It will come as no surprise, I suppose, to realize that the state of Texas, because, you know, prison ain't supposed to be fun. Never mind the fact that, at least theoretically under the law of this country, when you take a person's liberty away, you do become responsible for their well-being. Well, in the time that Texas has been sweltering, at least 9 prison inmates in that shithole state, sorry y'all, at least 9 inmates have died of heart attacks or unknown causes, right? Because there's no air conditioning in these hell holes. And yet, somehow or another, the Texas Bureau of Prisons, or whatever it is, Department of Corrections, I don't know, have not classified any of these as being related to heat, even though it so obviously is. Two men in their 30s have keeled over dead. One of them was a fellow by the name of Tommy McCullough. He was incarcerated in that hellhole in Huntsville, Texas. And so he had a job to do there, and he got up on Friday morning and went out to work mowing the dirt outside the Gorey unit. And by about noon, he'd done collapsed and started the process of his dying. The prison said, well, he died of cardiac arrest. Shh. Here's a funny one. This isn't funny at all, but you can call any death cardiac arrest, because in all cases of death, the heart stops beating. And so since mid-June, at least five prisoners in Greg Abbott's fascist theocratic hell state have died of what has been called a heart attack, cardiac arrest. Outside the prisons, it's been 100 degrees and more, and not much better inside. All this information comes from the Texas Tribune. Another guy who died was 34, also in Huntsville. Four other people died in hot prisons, but, well, we don't have a cause of death for that. Texas Department of Criminal Justice spokescreep Amanda Hernandez said, labeling these as heat-related before the investigation is completed would be inaccurate. And after the Texas Tribune published this story on Wednesday, they had to follow up, because the minute they said that Mr. Hernandez dropping dead there in prison, well, they said the same Texas Department of Criminal Justice said, well, we now have reason to believe that he was on the methamphetamines. Now, McCullough was a trustee. He wasn't a hardened lockdown kind of... No, he had whatever passes for rights you can have in a shithole prison in Texas. They'd even let him mow outside the fence lines and not sit there on horseback with a rifle pointed at his head. I guess you can... What? Save up your 59 cents per day pay and get yourself some meth at the prison canteen? Well, I mean, it's Texas. And they're prisoners anyway, right? I mean, prison ain't supposed to be a good place to go. Don't want people wanting to go to prison. Now, I'm back to Josh Hawley. Matt in San Francisco says, you get the Christians to rise. You get the Christians to rise, Matt, I'll get the lions. So many evangelical Christians. So few lions. Maybe paint them up with a little gazelle grease before you send them out into the arena. Hawley's Christians. Cowbell, Matt. What's next? The Christians threw the first brick at Stonewall? Matt, I'll have you know that Marsha P. Johnson was an evangelist who was in Stonewall there trying to convert the heathen queers. And as to the Canadian forest, Matt says, wow, they haven't, oh, this is quality, they haven't been sweeping their forest floors. Remember when Nitwit Nero said that?
Yeah, I don't know why they won't sweep the floors of the forest. That's how these fires get started, believe me. Totally.
Everyone knows that a forest sweeper threw the fifth brick at Stonewall. John in Central PA, I have not heard of that guy. Very good book and podcast on ancient Rome. I'll have to check that out. Meanwhile, Mary, Dave in the Blind says, I wonder if Mary Crowley is the granddaughter of Alistair. No, she spells it differently. Of course, that doesn't mean anything. C-R-O-U-L-E-Y. And I'm surprised this good Christian that she's talking to, or I should say is talking to her, isn't jumping out of his skin at the connection. In fact, that cave he's talking about was supposed to be an archive for federal records. It was never completed because of something called the Great Depression. Damn it. And that wasn't Jesus talking to you. Lay off the crack and get help. Put the pipe down. Happy prayer meeting, your buddy Dave. Thank you, Dave. Thank you. Meanwhile, Emilio, back to the, what was his name, you know, talking to Mary Crowley. My conspiracy is that he's sending a coded plea for help in Morse code. Tap, tap, tap. Tap, tap, tap. Tap, tap, tap. Tap, tap, tap. Whistle. Yeah, don't go there, Emilio. Wait, I never thought about this before. In Transylvania, are most of the people trans, while only 1% of the population is cis? Now leave the poor Transylvanians alone. And did you know that once upon a time, when they were thinking about naming the Commonwealth of Kentucky, that an early favored name was Transylvania? And Bram Stoker probably hadn't even been born yet. Maybe he had. And in fact, in Lexington, Kentucky, and Jefferson Davis was in fact a graduate of the place. There's still an institution of higher learning in Lexington, Kentucky, called Transylvania College or Transylvania University. It's always good for a laugh. Their teams are the Fighting Vampires. No, they're not. They're not. I just made that up. Shame on me. We are well into the second hour of the program. And there's still a challenge on the table to get us down to $2,200, courtesy of Ralph's. The next 25 bucks that comes in gets doubled by Ralph's. Thank you. This is a mighty big hill to be trying to climb, but, well, it could happen with a series of community-made miracles. And apparently, the Honorable Reverend Scary Jerry is on the stress line. Is that you, Jerry?
Is that Miss Rock?
Yeah, it is. It is I.
Accidental priestess of politics over the package. Is that you, Miss Rock?
That is I.
I'm here to call. I'm here to call down a blessing from dreadlock, brown skin, smoking, little Jesus, without the blue eyes, and bring cash so he can show up.
Jerry, I hate to interrupt the message, but are you on Bluetooth or something?
Hold on.
Because there's a lot of little random clicks and pops. I mean, I thought maybe you might be, you know, out.
Is this better, Miss Rock?
Yes, it is. It's a little echoey, but it's better.
Congregation, I want you to lean in. I want you to turn down the air conditioning. That's right. for the hell of AM radio with right-wing talk cannot be denied, and it is inevitable if you do not send in, your pennies, send in your dollars, send in your cheese. We need cheese on the show. Send in your Kanaka sausage. But hit that like button. Hit that PayPal contribution. And let us move forward into this wonderful Bidenomics and our march. We have indictments to go. We have charges to go. We have Donald Trump, the beast, telling him on himself on TV. It's unbelievable. We are here. We made it. We have to get Joe Biden back. We have to get some kind of, we got to get Kamala maybe a rap career. I don't know what we're going to do with Kamala. But we got to send in money. $23. Jesus. Hernandez Christ. It cannot stand.
Jesus Hernandez Christ. Yeah, did I hear that correctly?
Yes, you did. How you doing, Robin?
I'm good. I'm comfortable. I'm happy. It's 73
degrees.
I'm
in a great mood.
73 degrees in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion.
What are your thoughts on Maine?
Maine?
Maine.
As in the state of?
Yep.
I have heard it said that they have two seasons there, dead of winter and mud.
Yeah, but they're awfully progressive these days.
Are they?
Oh, yeah. Legalize weed just to criminalize sex work.
Yeah,
but they're giving out property for people who, under the age of a billion, will stay.
Yeah, but they also have noted Republican moderate centrist Susan Collins.
So, we have Rick Scott, okay? And Rubio.
Yeah, by the way, is there, based on what Rick Scott said in the last couple of days, is there a massive exodus of communists and socialists from Florida going on? Have you been able to document that, Jerry?
You know, that pandering fuckstick. No, but people are, the two things that happened in Florida that my horny family should just, you know, quell and maybe even get a little nipply is, Ron DeSantis, is he wants a continuance, and he's not going to get it. He wants a case before the election. And I was like, damn, Disney should live stream that shit. They'd get a subscription from me. And this whole let's fuck with the immigrants, because I've actually gotten some traction online with this. And we're going, I hope nobody needs a roof in Florida this year. And people are like, oh, shit. I'm like, yeah, you dumb fucks. I saw two pink people do a roof once in Florida. They had MAGA hats and flags going. It took them 2 weeks. And as I watched them, one of them almost died. They had a tent built on the roof. It was hysterical. They were bright red when they were done, and they were sliding off. And then by the same token, I saw a house in the next neighborhood. Took 8 hours. Put the roof on. 100 men came out of a clown car, playing bachata music. They were in, they put the roof on, they came down, they drank Corona and said, oh, really? And they left. I picked the bachata guys. I do. That was racist, but I don't care. Mexicans are good at ruse. What do you want from me? Like, they're good at, it's like saying Japanese people aren't good at tacos. And Cubans, you can't trust them with pizza.
What?
You can't. Cuban pizza. Oh, Cuban pizza is terrible. It's as bad as a coffee is good. It really is. You can trust a Cuban.
Well, I mean, hold on. We are on Terra Incognita. Never in my life have I heard the words Cuban and pizza side by side in any kind of a city.
Run away! Jump out a window!
I mean, what's on it? I mean, is it
Chicago pizza?
Is it ham and Swiss?
It's just all the wrong cheese and the wrong cheese. And survival dough that they just kind of kept going. There's some people like it, but I had it once, and I was like, oh, my God, there's something Cubans can't do. I finally figured it out. It's pizza.
Well, is it like ham, is it like ham and Swiss and pickles? Is it like a Cubano sandwich? Or
it's all of that, but the crust and the cheese is all wrong. They're using that white Mexican cheese and trying to melt it. Doesn't, oh, it's terrible. You know, the queso blanca, not using, and the mozzarella is just, or Romano is just an afterthought. You're just, no, guys, leave it alone. Let the Italians have this. They're good at it. How you doing, Horn?
It never occurred to me that there would, but I mean, I don't know why there wouldn't be, but, I mean, there's,
and the sauce was all wrong, too.
There's Mexican.
The sauce
there's
like,
there's un-Mexican pizza at Taco Bell, and it's pretty good.
Oh, man, you could do so much with now, Mexican pizza's the shit. I wish somebody would do a soft crust vegan version of that. I should do a soft crust vegan version of that. How would you do that?
There's a little Mexican place across the river here. And you know how, like, a lot of restaurants you go in and you can get the spinach and avocado dip, spinach and artichoke dip?
Yeah.
Well, this is spinach and nopalito dip. Spinach.
What is nopalito?
Spinach and cactus dip. And it is.
Where are you getting these?
So
where are you getting Mexican
good.
In West Virginia?
Well,
how are you doing that?
I just talked
to my daughter about that, and
they come across the low water parts of the Big Sandy River. It's just like the Rio Grande. They come across from Kentucky.
Okay. I just read a thing in Indiana that there's this head shop that they wanted to prosecute for selling Delta 8. And I was going, what the fuck is wrong with Indiana? Really? Really?
It's a hell of a lot shorter list to say what's right with Indiana. Save a lot of time.
And I mean, remember that the Notre Dame versus Alabama football national championship?
What, from 2 or 3 years ago?
Like, I think it was like 6 years, I think, if I'm honest.
Are you talking about the one where it became abundantly obvious early on that Notre Dame had no business being on the field with the Tide?
I worked that party in South Beach because it was here. It was at the Hard Rock. And the whole week for that was awesome because everybody except, well, Alabama people, they travel well, but they all hold on to the same $5 they came with. They weren't spending shit. The Indiana people, it was their first taste of freedom. They were in everything, everyone, and everybody. Okay? And I had left right before the game. I was like, all right, I'm going to come back here because this looks like it's going to be a good game.
Muriel, that was
21-0.
Muriel, land sakes alive. Look, that woman's awfully tall, ain't she? Well,
they were having fun though.
Well, Herman, they grow them tall down here in South Florida, praise Jesus.
And they don't ask no questions. Hey, give me another beer. I don't care if she's a man or a woman. Let's go. I mean, they were just all into it. Like I said, they were trying all the rides. And it was over by, and it was such a brutal beatdown. They just kind of quietly packed their bags and went home and took all their money with them and left all the obnoxious Alabama. And I was like, damn it. I wanted Alabama to at least struggle with these people a little bit. In fact, if Indiana would have won, they would have just stayed. I seriously think so. They would have, we live here now. We do. I am happy because, I followed my inner light and, shit's working out. It's kind of weird. It's kind of like, that thing that, did you see that thing that Trump did? I know you did. Where he couldn't even come up with a lie and he looked like shit. You look like absolute dog
shit. I'm going to need more detail. That's just any day that ends in Y with him.
No, the recent thing, why he's trying to explain how that wasn't really plans. I'm like, whoa. That sounds like this isn't really cocaine. Or that's not a dead body stepping out of the trunk. Or what fire? I mean, that's what we're down to. You were talking about this last night. He goes, it sounded like, I go, no, that actually sounded like a folder. This man went and made 4K audio. You dumb fuck.
Wait a minute. You get a jingle.
Nixon's doing a face pop.
Yes, but he didn't have Rosemary Woods. I had Rosemary Woods.
I'm like, there's no way. And even the, if you would just shut up. That's not why.
Yeah. Jerry? Are you there? You're still connected. I didn't mute
you. Oh, a progressive kindness or weakness. Have you discovered that?
You must have been getting a call because you went dark for about 20 seconds.
Hey, guys. What was that about? That doesn't make any sense. Can you hear me now? No, yeah. I didn't get a call. I'm blocking calls right now. I'm on the Robin show. Y'all should have called before.
Robin, anyway. Fuck off. I'm on the radio.
Oh, that's what...
Yeah, what?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're in and out now.
Hello?
Yeah, you're kind of here, kind of there.
Oh, that's what it is. All right, is this better?
Yeah.
Okay. So she ripped me off in MAGA fashion, and she called me back today begging to pay me. I'm not going to go through the machinations how, but some of that scary art that I was generating showed up on her Google Maps, and she couldn't take it down. I'm going to leave it at that. Do not fuck with a liberal. It's not that we can't fight back. When we do fight back, it'll be all we do. And they don't realize that. They don't realize that. And then they go, why are you being so mean? And you go, I haven't even used a curse word yet, bitch. But, and that's the first one. Oh, so, she's supposed to pay me for that, so I'm putting one magical $5 on the table, pushing it towards you. And, hopefully my horny brother and sisters, will follow suit. Also, you still there?
I am.
I went to the only church that was advertising at Pride, which I thought was pretty deep. And I think I tried to take a picture of the sign that says, God is love. And I was like, you know what? I think if Yeshua is back on the planet, that's going to be new. And these are the only people over here doing it. So I'm going to go see what they got going on. So I already went over there and I met a nice cis girl. And I think I met a nice trans girl. So there's that.
Yeah, never ask. Just never ask.
Nope. That's one of those new things I don't ask. Don't ask if you're pregnant. Don't ask how old you are. Don't ask about virginity. Stop it. And don't ask where you started on your journey. You taught me that. So give yourself a little pat on the back.
Well, thank you.
The only out of that, you know what? This is why I call it. It's a one sentence thing. The thing that terrifies me the most about what's going on is Trump. The whole MAGA party is using religion as a pocket sand moment right now. They really have nothing left. So all of a sudden they're going to make up a persecution where by my, Sunday Adventure or scrolls and secret crazy writings, they say, you guys, and I've said, this is not the first time I've said this, but you have to notice now. They keep going. Holly just said the Sabbath, and I was like, whoo-hoo, when are y'all going to start making us go to church on the Sabbath? That's what I want to know, because that's when I buy them a gun. I'm not getting on the bus or the train. I know how their story ends. I know exactly where you're going, and I don't like any of it. But they're being nobody ever screams back. So why are you guys so opposed to feeding fucking children? Or why are you opposed to, well, healthcare for people with a cough who are seeking asylum for the climate wars and the bullshit that we started? Nobody ever calls them on this. I mean, I can't even blame Joe because he got a country to run. You know, it's half on fire. And you know what? Tip of the hat to Joe. As I said online, Joe's like that 90-year-old man at a marathon that you're just swear to God he's going to, you know, you swear to God he's just going to fall over. But like at the 13th mile, he's just all elbows and ashy knees, and he's winning. And it's a beautiful thing.
Now, that's a thought. I've never once have I imagined Joe Biden ever being ashy. Chalky, maybe, but not ashy. I get chalky.
Chalky, ashy, just the darker ones in the crowd. They'll all chuckle and they coughed on their milk because it's true. But he's that weird guy that shows up at a marathon who's like real thin, and you think, well, this guy will be dead in 1,000 feet. And it mile 20, mile 21, he's still there. He's not passing anybody, but other people are just dropping. I put out a post that got all the Russia bots pissed off. I go, Biden destroyed Russia. He caused the coup, and he didn't lose an American life. Of course, he's not going to claim responsibility for it because that's how real gangsters roll.
Well, he did say something. Joe Biden did say something. He said that Putin has definitely been weakened, which is that's a big statement. If you're if you're the president of the United States of America,
that's a fingerprint. Okay, and you know what? He beat Putin the worst. It would this you couldn't have hurt Putin worse with a nuke. It was his own people, and he showed Putin to run off and run off like that B word, not to desecrate female dogs, but he made him run, and he destroyed his whole image. And for 36 glorious hours, the Republican bullshit machine had nothing to say. They had no response. The best response was Trump going, be careful what you wish for. That was the most shocking thing I've ever said. I've ever heard him say. Out of everything, I was like, whoa, we're all shaking pom-poms here going, fuck Russia. And you're going, hey, maybe don't be mean to Russia. Did you actually just say that? You shouldn't have said that out loud. You shouldn't have wrote that down anywhere. Whose side are you on, dude? Seriously. Can you at least pretend? No, you can't. They're all falling apart. And this goes back to my whole Christian thing, because the ice floe that they're all on is getting really thin. There's nowhere to go with this. And it's glorious. So, as liberals, let's pop our collar a little bit. Let's barbecue and some veggie dogs. Maybe some lab meat. I can't fuck with that yet, but maybe definitely some Impossible Burger. Let's light some sparklers and go, hey, America. I remember 4 years ago during the 4th of July, I think it was the one with the shooting. No, it was the other one with the shooting. No, it was the other one with the parade shooting. Where I was like, man, this country, though. Do you remember that? Take care of you.
Yeah.
And now I want to light a red, white, and blue cupcake and put a sparkler on it and go, keep going, Mama USA, keep going. America the beautiful and all, warts and all. And that's how I feel. That's how I feel. This terrible lady's going to pay me. I just got a remote job based on my ability to talk shit for long amounts of time. I think I'm well qualified. And I'm putting $5 on the table. It's ceremonial, but anytime I come through, usually that deficit gets magically cleaned up. So do it again, Horn. Let's do that. Let's have a good fucking weekend, okay? Let's wrap this up before Friday, okay? And, we can all hang out and set stuff on fire, both organically and, carbon-based Chinese stuff, fireworks. And that's it. That's most of what I got. Oh, you didn't even describe that one I sent you. All right, okay. Robin was remiss, and I was hoping for her describey words, and I got none.
Well, it kind of defied description. Talking about pictures on the radio is like dancing about architecture.
Okay, it's a beautiful ball with all the senators, and the devil and Trump are in the middle doing a square dance. I thought it was epic. And I sent Ron DeSantis made up like Geppetto's boy. Actually, he wouldn't Ron DeSantis. He looks like a Pinocchio clone, but he has the little Hitler mustache. People want a T-shirt of that. And the fact that Disney's about to put their foot up his ass, I think I'm going to sell a couple of those. Was that hard, Robin?
No, but you're the creator.
Yeah, it's true.
But I have to figure out, like, how to monetize that, or because that would be a, it's an attack ad, isn't it? Yeah, it is. That's pack shit, isn't it? Yes, it is. And I do that shit for free.
Well, I do have a little bit of monkey up news in the stack today. One of his biggest fanboys, a guy who was a definite Trump train guy, and then jumped off the Trump train and became a monkey up boy. A guy named Pedro Gonzalez. This is not the same Pedro from, say, Washington Journal. No, Brother Bishop Steve in Georgia Stan told me that. That was 20 days ago. So. But this is not that Pedro. Pedro Gonzalez was a big time Trumper, and then of course
I've heard of him.
He jumped ship and went over and became a DeKlantis monkey boy. And, well, turns out, because it's always there, it turns out that in 2019 and 2020, Pedro Gonzalez really let his anti-Semitic and racist flags fly. No one's surprised, of course. He was chatting in a group called Right Wing Death Squad, Jerry.
I've heard of that group.
And he wrote, "That feeling when you realize whites are the only hope non-whites have of living civilized lives, but whites themselves are too cucked to preserve their own civilizations." And
that wouldn't have anything to do with Africa building drones. Oh, never mind.
And then he took aim at Candy O and Ben Shapiro. And remember, Candy O is just Ben Shapiro in drag. I can't prove it, but I'm absolutely convinced of it. But he referred to her as...
And blackface.
Yes. He referred to them as the Negress and the Jew. The Jew!
And went I on read to, something.
And went on to say, yeah, like, not every Jew is problematic, but the sad fact is that most are.
I read something from that same corner that killed my blood. It's one of those where you read halfway through the thread and you're like, oh, dear sweet God, what the hell am I doing here? They were just talking and they were going, but what about the bloodlust? Tucker Carlson was in the thread. They were talking about the bloodlust to kill people of color. They admitted that. I'm like, you know, this always seemed really visceral to me. Now I get it. It's one of the reasons I don't play online games, and I'd actually be good at it. It's just the, I will come to your house if you use the N-word. Oh, yeah, really? Where are you? Okay. Because, no, my generation doesn't allow that, even casually. So I don't, but I'm trying to put all my powers to the positive and the progressive. Like, help take care of the show, checking in, letting all the horny people know I'm thinking about you. I wish there was a big bus I could go on and just visit you one by one, or at least, you know, meet you in the drive-thru.
Well, tell me, I mean, family with as bad as it is in, like, Texas and along the Gulf Coast, how bad is it down there, right? How hot is it?
You want the truth or the Florida man... Florida man, what they call it. The truth is, it's fucking August hot in June. That's the truth. The truth is...
And humid AF?
I'm used to it. I like it. I'm wearing a black t-shirt right now.
No, I'm that way too. I like it. I like heat and humidity.
I do, but I actually made a joke to people and they didn't like it. I go, you know what? I think I'm buying a house next year. It's probably not going to have a roof on one of the sides, but if you invest in Florida real estate, you're on the low, because anything you get right now is going to have to be smaller and self-insured. That's where this is going. I don't even know why houses in Florida have windows, but that's just me and my crazy ass. I think they should all have glass blocks. And the roof should be solarized completely, not little panels sitting on there.
Just the entire roof.
The panels actually used. Yeah. But fucking Ron DeSantis has fucked with the solar energy business specifically on purpose so hard that, I don't know. I mean, you can't get insured for put that shit on your roof right now, which is another problem. You only get a third of the price of the kilowatt rate.
How the hell does Nitwit Nero get MAGA Loco insured?
I went up there because that's just a great place to get stabbed. No, I was actually working on the day he got inaugurated, and that's one of the few times I've actually felt in fear for my life. And you know, I've been around automatic gunfire. I was pretty chill about it. Not that day, though. I was like, you know what? I need to get the hell out of here. This seems like some fucking Tulsa riot shit. Oh, okay. Now on to media. What's the last good movie you've seen?
Does it have to be in a theater? Because I haven't been in a theater since God was a baby.
I'm actually going to a theater because one of the movies I just saw. But not in a theater. Ready Player One was just... That was amazing. Have you seen that?
No, I still want to see Guardians of the Galaxy 3, and I hope it's still in the movie theater. I might treat myself to it over the weekend or something.
Ready Player One is about a world that has succumbed to climate change. It's kind of like a Blade Runner story.
Yeah, I've heard about it. I've heard about that.
It's a great ride. It's Steven Spielberg. It kind of has almost E.T. feel to it. I think the Ryan Reynolds, I forgot the name of that movie with, where he's a video game character. That's underrated. It's on that same level.
I saw that. That was good.
That was good. And you say back, this is on the same type of ride. A little more violent, but the new Flash. Oh my God! I'm just going to give you one spoiler. All the Supermans, even George Reeves. I don't know how they did it, but he's in it.
Wow.
Yeah. I was crying like a 10-year-old boy. I was like, "Oh my God!" And Michael Keaton is the best Batman. Fight me, I don't care.
No, I won't fight you on that. I think you're right. Michael Keaton was and is the best Batman.
And he loved the little role they gave him in there. He just soaked it up and just, it was great. But you gotta see it. And let's all raise our vibration. In addition to you needing a couple of bucks, let's all raise our vibration. I'm really excited because I'm about to take advantage of the buy gold now crowd. I've been literally avoiding them for the last 12 years. But today I said, you know what? I got to eat, man. And racism and stupidity is expensive. Is that me buying a tie and selling out some of my ideals? Slightly, yeah. But they walk around with money stuck to their forehead. What am I supposed to do, Robin? Seriously.
Take the money off their foreheads?
Yeah. Especially if they're a little racist. And I'm going to give them a sandbox to do that as well. I've decided to stop trying to break the game and just play it. I hate to say that, you know, but yeah, I'll send you more money to kind of absolve my sins.
Don't do yourself any harm, Jerry. Don't do that.
No, I'm not doing harm. I this new firm I'm starting with is making money, and it's the type of job I used to do, what year is it? 15 years ago. And I finally have the mental capabilities and enough neurons and gateways have grown back, and I can actually do it, and I get super frustrated. And it's remote, so I can just have an intravenous coffee drip and maybe a gummy, and I'm in the great space to sell stuff. Especially stuff that's technical that I know something about that has a greed component to it. So with that, I was remote, so I get to travel. and go see shit. I literally, my only thing holding back now is what kind of headset. I mean, when you're at that point, this is one of the jobs I wanted. It's kind of the job I imagined me doing when I first started this work in 1987. So I'm trying not to get too excited because I don't want to cycle, but I'm excited as shit. I believe in the product and, greedy racist people. I'm gonna, you know, hopefully I meet a billionaire. We'll leave it at that.
Do you need a billionaire? Who doesn't need a billionaire?
I need a couple of billionaires. I need a couple of, who said that? Well, for me, that's a Neil Rogers character. But it's a guy from New York who kind of sounds like a bookie. You go, hey, give me that money. Hey. So, yeah. That's where I'm at. Crazy mega business lady, saved it there, is gonna pay me. She called me. She said I was dreadful. She even brought my text to the police, and I said, you know, I didn't use one curse word. I'm just a debtor trying to collect the debt. Free speech. She hated that part. But we are powerful, even though we're not many. We got to remember that. Part of their gig and their gag is to make us feel hopeless and weak. And we're not. We cured the diseases. We made the light bulbs work. Not the invention, but the factories and the workmanship and the marketing. We make this country go. Our voices, our sweat, our intuition, our fears, our hopes, our dreams. We're the opposite of weak. We are the fucking American people, okay? And we're the ones fucking too, but that's another story for another day. So be proud. From sea to fucking shining sea, motherfuckers. Amber waves of grain. I love you all. Take care. Send money.
Bye bye. Be good. Bye. Jerry. What more can I say? Just Jerry. And thank you. Thank you so kindly to Matt in San Francisco meeting Ralph's Mary Beard challenge. Thank you, Matt. And thank you to Libby. Libby jumped in. And so we are down to, let's see, 2150. And Christopher got us down to 2125. Thank you so much. Matt said, I'll throw $25 on the table. Come on now. Someone else match that and raise me some more. Yes, I'm getting the backup porn music. Sorry about that. But, well, did manage to... Yeah, we went... The stream went squirrely for a second, but thanks to people letting me know, managed to get the stream back. Thank you, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan, all-around great guy. Thank you. Okay, let's see. By the way, Christopher said, let's bring it down to zero and I'll raise our vibrations with vegan food. And an avocado emoji and a hearts for eyes smiling emoji. I will eat avocados all day long and twice on Sunday. Love them. Absolutely love them. And last night I found out something interesting. Ferg whipped up a skillet full of his wondrous Brussels sprouts, and I have no explanation for this. I've been on a sauerkraut kick, and I looked at it and I said, gee, kind of wonder how sprouts and krauts would go. So I tried it. Brussels sprouts, with the exception of everybody who's going, ew, Brussels sprouts, ew, gross. Brussels sprouts go really well with sauerkraut. And since Scary Jerry was kind of free-forming there a minute ago, I had a thought. Two words. Kimchi dog. Regular hot dog, uncured hot dog, vegan hot dog, whatever. On a grilled English bun. Dog, mustard, kimchi, hot sauce. Yeah? Yeah? Sound good? I thought it did. Got hold of some Hatch green chili hummus the other day. That was very good indeed. I told my youngest about it. She's out in New Mexico, and she's like, oh, we love Hatch green chilies out here. Well, it's the state chili, after all. I mean, I really think it is. Oh, but here we are, closing in on the end of the second hour of the program on this prayer meeting Wednesday. And I had high hopes for being done with the libertarian death thermos story. But a remote-operated vehicle found the wreckage. And they managed to recover some pieces of the libertarian death thermos. The photographs are out there now if you want to go see them. Pretty big chunks of it. Brought it. They sent the Arctic Horizon out to get it with a bunch of cranes and whatnot, and hauled it up. And okay, but then unwilling to leave well enough alone, I just saw a breaking news alert from CNN. And look, journalism has been part of my life for a very long time, but I'm trying to figure out the journalistic reason for saying, for publishing this. Headline, presumed human remains found near debris field of doomed Titan submersible, U.S. Coast Guard says. The U.S. Coast Guard has recovered presumed human remains from the seafloor in the area of the Titan submersible's debris field and will conduct a formal analysis, the military branch said Wednesday. Just from a copy editing standpoint, is the Coast Guard is under the Department of Commerce, which is under the Department of Treasury. It's not under the Pentagon. So, it is kind of military? Paramilitary? And the story merely rehashes, with no real substantive detail, what we already know. And I'm just trying to figure out if you're the family of those ill-inspired people. By the way, it turns out that Stockton Rush cut the prices for Dawood Shahrazad and his son Suleiman, because he was actually financing his research on the backs of tourists who are willing to throw caution to the wind. And another individual who had dived on the libertarian death thermos has been giving interviews, and he said, I went out on it several times over the course of a week, and every time we got below the water, we lost communications. He said, I got to the point where I figured it was just, well, part of the process. Sadly, well, there will probably be more of these stories. Oh, and in the ongoing discussion of just how god-awful the air is right now, noting good Kentucky Stan air, our buddy Trey writes in and says, in Covington, in the Cincinnati area, AQI is 172, and Trey said it's like breathing peanut butter. Stay safe. Pretty please. The N95s will help. I remember how much we didn't like them. I mean, I didn't particularly mind. It was hell on my lipstick, but, you know, whatever. It was great for not getting the Rona. And it's also great for not breathing in PM2.5. I'm sure Marginal Trailer Queen completely disagrees, but then again, she's one of those idiots Republicans keep electing, like Liz Cheney said in her interview. I want to go back to the story for a minute because there's actually a connection here to something I want to talk about in a minute. I was talking about this Pedro Gonzalez creep. Who was a Trump train forever kind of guy until he jumped the train and became a DeSantis monkey boy. Well, his nasty-ass anti-Semitic text messages and whatnot and posts came out. I shared some of those in talking with Scary Jerry. Well, when he got busted, Pedro Gonzalez said, "The only reason my private messages I exchanged with Trump supporters from a different dumb season of my life are being used against me is that I've become the most effective critic of Trump since jumping off the Trump train." Cry me a river, Pedro. But he's one of those fighting keyboard warriors for Monkey Up DeSantis. And in fact, Monkey Up, well, when he, when he became a DeSantis guy, well, the DeSantis team had gone out looking for prominent Trump bloggers to bring over to their side. And he signed right up. When the news broke of what Pedro Gonzalez had said, the Never Back Down pack said that his writings were inexcusable. But Christina Pashaw, the spokescreep for DeSantis, said, "It's really gotten nasty. And to be clear, I'm mostly talking about the Trump side. I've seen some comments from people on the DeSantis side I don't care for, too. But it's consistently the Trump surrogates who seem to have no bottom to how low they'll sink to support the candidate talking about my boss's go-go boots and the fact that he sounds like a robot." No, I added that last part. Sorry. Here's the interesting thing. Beyond the fact that Monkey Up hired a bunch of former maggots to do his bidding on social media, well, Pedro Gonzalez is, even as we speak, a contributor to Newsweek, which used to be a reputable publication and is now just apparently a right-wing shithole. But the fact that he is a contributor to Newsweek might be perhaps indicative of the leanings of Newsweek lately in terms of how they report the news. I guess they've decided to go all Monkey Up themselves, because I've got a story here by Khalida Rahman. Well, here we are again, out on Straight Road. That's how far ahead of the curve we are. Oh, back to sauerkraut for a second. Roger says, I just put down a gallon of sauerkraut with garlic scapes today. Oh, that sounds heavenly. Oh, goodness me. Sally the studio stink bug seems to have come to visit.
Ugh.
I haven't threatened the stink bug. Why'd you do that, Sal? Now, it's a story in Newsweek about Nitwit Nero's naked sexism, which enough right there. Well, there went dinner in the Mountain Daylight time zone. Naked sexism. I mean, just call it his sexism. Don't make America. Listen, Khalid Rahman, don't make us think about Nitwit Nero being naked. Oh. My sauerkraut's not sitting so easy anymore. But the article is actually about a new book by Miles Taylor. Miles Taylor is the guy who was over in the Department of Homeland Security as chief of staff and wrote the anonymous column that stirred up such a frenzy and earned the ire of Nitwit Nero. Oh, God, and there it is from Washington Post.
Possible human remains have been discovered among the debris in the Libertarian death thermos.
Come on. That just appeals to prurient interests. The only reason I mention it is to talk about how it appeals to prurient interests. Anyway, Miles Taylor has a book out. It's coming out. It's called Blowback, A Warning to Save Democracy from the Next Trump. And Newsweek got a juicy little chunk of it to review in advance. Now, you know, for years, we have referred to Nitwit Nero's eldest daughter as Ivanka My Daddy Trump Kushner. And we've referenced the skeevy photograph of her sitting on Daddy's lap when she was an adolescent. And the photograph also featured some sculptures, presumably in Florida, of, well, parrots getting it on. Yeah, well, Blowback, A Warning to Save Democracy from the Next Trump contains a passage in which former aides talk about how Nitwit Nero would talk about, oh, God, how hot his daughter was. Ugh. And that he went on to talk about
what it might be like to have sex with her.
And even his chief of staff, whether it was Mark Meadows or the other one, John, what's his name? Well, one of them rebuked him for it because it was so damn nasty. Speaking to Newsweek, Miles Taylor said, there still are quite a few female leaders from the Trump administration who have held their tongues about the unequal treatment they faced in the administration at best and the absolute naked sexism, again with the naked, they experienced with the hands of Donald Trump at worst. Taylor says Trump had undisguised sexism toward the women in his administration, and that it didn't matter what level they were, if they were low level or cabinet level staff, cabinet secretaries. Miles Taylor writes about Kirstjen Nielsen, who was DHS secretary from 2017 to 2019 in the nightmare Trump presidency. When we were with him, Taylor says, Kirstjen did her best to ignore the president's inappropriate behavior. He called her sweetie and honey and critiqued her makeup and outfits. And Nielsen whispered to him after one particularly nasty little comment, "Trust me, this is not a healthy workplace for women." And, this is going to sting. Kellyanne Conjob, his senior counselor, once said that Nitwit Nero was a misogynistic bully. We knew it a long time ago. But over in Kellyanne Conjob's office, no, she never said that. No way, she didn't. That's a lie. Despite trying to resuscitate the 15 minutes of fame, Miles Taylor should have stayed anonymous. Methinks they doth protest too much. And then there was the moment when he thought he saw Jethrine Bodine, his White House spokesliar. Standing outside in the room next to his, and he looked at one of his staffers and said, "Wait.
Wait, isn't that Sarah Hasselbeck's handbags? Whoops! I was going to say, man, Sarah, you've lost a lot of weight."
She has yet to comment, too, because her political career depends upon her keeping her nose firmly ensconced at Trump's gates of perdition. Aides said he talked about Ivanka Trump's breasts, her backside, and what it might be like to have sex with her. It was John Kelly who reminded the president that Ivanka was his daughter. Afterward, Kelly retold that story to me in visible disgust. And he said Trump was a very, very evil man. And yet he continued to work for him. See, that's the little moral crossroads there. Now, I'd be interested in your thoughts. You hear this and you go home and, well, you know, it's just another day at the office and got to get up and listen and go to work tomorrow and listen to how the President of the United States wants to have sex with his daughter. One source speaking to Newsweek said he's a pervert, he's difficult to deal with. This is still the same man, and incredibly, we're considering electing him to the presidency again. Miles Taylor himself said this man is closing the door to all kinds of potential talent, so you would expect even more dangerous people in a second term. He's setting a very vile tone within the Republican Party. Really, Miles? Really? Well, surprise, 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 Sergeant Carter. And in a sense has normalized pretty derisive views toward women in general. I mean, it's why we've seen other MAGA candidates that carry such baggage like Trump. That's why we've seen copycats pop up around the country. You know, that's why Brian Slayton got run out of the Texas House of Representatives by a 172-0 vote, I think. Something like, I'm close, 172, 173, 174, whatever it takes. But not a single vote in favor of him staying, because it turned out he, too, was a pervert who got a 19-year-old girl liquored up. And, of course, they didn't come any more MAGA than Brian Slayton. So we've got, well, congratulations, Newsweek. You just figured out something that the rest of us have known for eons. And remember, when Marla, was pregnant with Tiffania, he speculated in an interview with Marla sitting right next to him about what size breasts his, at that time, unborn or barely born baby daughter would have. And And I guess that's what making America great again looks like. Ugh. Just, ugh. But Nitwit Nero has filed a new lawsuit. According to the Associated Press, Nitwit Nero is now suing E. Jean Carroll, saying that she is defaming him by continuing to say that he raped her when the jury only found that he sexually abused her. I'm sure the suit papers don't quite read exactly like that, but that's close enough. And remember, the jury only found him guilty of sexual abuse because E. Jean Carroll couldn't tell whether he was penetrating her digitally or with his tiny trump. So now, because E. Jean Carroll said in a CNN interview that in response to the statement that the jury said, finding that she wasn't raped, she said, oh, yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did. And that forms the basis of this bullshit lawsuit. And the case was filed by, oh, dear. Counsel for the parking garage, Alina Habana 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 Habana. And her, Carol's lawyer said, well, you know, these four out of the five statements that, that he's counterclaiming over are outside the one-year statute of limitations. Robbie Kaplan said, Trump's filing is thus nothing more than his latest effort to delay accountability for what a jury has already found to be his defamation of E. Jean Carroll. But whether he likes it or not, that accountability is coming very soon. As I said, Alina Habana 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 and Michael T. Madeo filed the lawsuit on, I'm sure, insistence by Nitwit Nero. As to working for Trump, Matt in San Francisco says, I really don't understand why anyone would want to work with him. You end up either a defendant or a witness. Either way, you have to get a lawyer, go to court. That eats up a lot of time, and you don't get paid for that. Best and brightest!
And then they're going to have the best people, the very best people.
Same kind of thoughts, Darlene. Darlene in Connecticut. Possible human remains? Can human remains be possible? Feels misplaced modifier-y to me. Remains that are possibly human? Honestly, one of the first things I thought about is, might it be one of the original passengers of the Titanic? My guess is they're trying to say something without saying much of anything. Might just be a splatter on the fiberglass. I know it's gross. It's one of those Wednesdays, isn't it? When I mentioned the story, was it yesterday, about the man vying to be the stupidest person in the United States Senate, you know, Tommy the Tuber of Talabama. I said, and he was bragging about, oh, we got $1.4 billion for broadband attempting in Alabama, and that's going to be great for the great people of the Yolohama state.
Ha.
I said, boy, I hope the comms team in the White House don't let this one just bounce innocently off the rim. Sometimes our hopes are rewarded. Yeah. Today, President Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. took to Twitter and added Tommy the Tuber and said, see ya at the groundbreaking. Because, of course, Tommy the Tuber can't get anywhere near President Biden or get near to acknowledging that it was Joe Biden's idea that Alabama get $1.4 billion for broadband infrastructure improvement. Oh, no. No. Uh-uh. Forget it. No way. And Tommy the Tuber, of course, voted against the infrastructure bill in the first place. Hopefully he will be blistered for it. And we have further evidence this evening of the absolute spinelessness, the silly putty spine of the weaker speaker, Kevers McCarthy. He earned the fury, the ire of Julius Geezer early this week when he said he wasn't certain if the Orange God Emperor would be the best candidate for the maggot party to put forward to run against incumbent Joe Biden. And now we find out that he, and this is through Politico, we find out that he went crawling on his belly to Nitwit Nero to apologize for not saying he would be the best candidate to run for president. And because Kevers McCarthy, the weaker speaker, is a four-square fuck-up, the more he apologized, the worse shit got. Among other things, when he fucked up, they then tried to fundraise on it and sent out a fundraising email saying, Trump is the strongest opponent to Biden. This, of course, pissed off Marcus Aurelius, because he hates it when anybody else's campaign fundraises off of his. In fact, Geezer Discustis's campaign team said, told McCarthy's team to take down the ask, the pitch. Talking to Politico, one unnamed campaign consultant, and God, that's a great gig. You don't even have to be good at anything.
At what point is it okay for Kevin McCarthy not to endorse Trump? Donald Trump has been very good to Kevin McCarthy.
Oh, you're going to have to belly crawl some more, Kevers. Luckily, Kevin has no integrity whatsoever, so won't matter much. little update on the ongoing investigation into the single largest domestic terrorism attack on the capital of the United States in our history. Another guy has been arrested today. Michael Asbury, aged 43, of Knoxville, Tennessee, was taken in, charged with obstruction of law enforcement during a civil disorder, a felony, entering and remaining on restricted grounds without lawful authority to do so, disorderly or disruptive conduct in a restricted building or grounds, and disorderly conduct in a Capitol building. All of those are misdemeanors. He was arraigned in the United States Federal Court for the Eastern District of Tennessee today. According to the charging documents, Asbury was present in the lower west tunnel entrance of the Capitol building at approximately 2:49 p.m. While inside the tunnel, Asbury is accused of working with other rioters, terrorists, to push his body back and forth in a concerted heave-ho movement against the line of law enforcement officers protecting the entrance to the building. He can also be seen climbing scaffolding outside the Capitol and inside the Capitol. And in another photo, inside the Capitol at the police line. And because he's a complete dipshit, he posted photos of himself on the Capitol grounds on his own Facebook page. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. And his lawyers are freaking out because he is the world's worst client. That didn't come from MSNBC. That came from the morning derp team at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda from Fox and Fiends.
Also, on the plane going up, we just saw some Fox News Digital of him up in New Hampshire. The plane flying up to New Hampshire, ABC and Semaphore were both on board and asked the president a little bit about, you know, when you were holding up those documents and stuff like that, what were you talking about? And he said, I had no documents. He said, he explained, look, my desk was loaded up with papers. I just held up a pile of papers. And then, of course, during the Bret Baier interview of about a week ago, Donald Trump used the word plans to describe some of the things he was highlighting. And he said, those were building plans. Those were actually plans for golf courses and not, as Jillian just said, war plans. So the president, former president, you got to figure if you're his defense attorney, because he said so many things about these, and they're about to have a heart attack. They probably have said to him a million times, do you really have to talk about that? Because the more you talk, the harder our job is.
Well, he's very transparent. He always has been. And he answers questions. And so his lawyers might not like it, but a lot of Americans do like it.
It's me. Mark Esper was on CNN yesterday. And they said, what do you think about this? At the end, they go, you know, what about this audio that came out? And Mark Esper was the Secretary of Defense. So I find it odd because it sounds like multiple pages. And we, one thing about the president, no matter what the briefing was, no matter what the topic was, it was one page, supposed to be a placemat presentation. Right. So I'm not sure if there's anything that we had given him that doesn't sound like anything we had given him. So it's going to be interesting to see what he's actually holding up, and if it's just audio, not video. And the other thing I just find it amazing is we never hear from Robert Hur's investigation. We always hear from Donald Trump's investigation, and just amazing. He always goes to New York Times and CNN.
Well, maybe Trump's side is leaking.
Well,
Trump's side's leaking audio? Yeah. Why would his side be leaking audio?
Maybe they've been leaking a lot of stuff during the entire process.
I've never heard that.
Well, Trump was in New Hampshire.
Never heard of Trump's side leaking? It's a sieve. But when even the genius brain trust is saying that he's giving his lawyers a heart attack, as gently as they possibly can. You know that things are not going well, and of course, he's just absolutely freaked out. On any number of fronts. And he went over to his rickety, falling apart, rattle trap social media platform, Trump Social, to complain about the photos of him that are used in the media. He doesn't like the pictures Fox News is using.
Three people in New Hampshire asked me why Fox News uses such horrible pictures of me when doing or promoting a story. The coloring, distortions, everything are just so bad, believe me. They must sit and look at 100 different shots and then take the 10 absolute worst. My staff has even complained about it for months, but to no avail. Fox is just bad news, but I'm leading in the polls by record numbers, so perhaps their bull is just not working. They're down 37% for a reason. Because he may not know much about anything else, but he certainly was willing to lie about people's or networks or media outlets' ratings numbers. They're down 37%.
Yeah, curiously, that 37% is the same number of voters who actually, you know, back in 2016 were diehard maggots. And almost as though they're all in some sort of virtual libertarian death thermos, the pressure's building on everybody around him. I know. By the way, Billable Rick. Rick says, can you please pass the eye bleach? I'm disgusted by the reports of Trump ogling his daughter, Ivanka. Got any eye bleach for that I can borrow? Here. Or actually, perhaps more helpfully, here. It's so gross. New defense, Matt says, he's too stupid to have multiple pages. What, Edith, huh? And if a jury will believe it, Matt, he will plead it. So enter John Eastman, who's got at least one, maybe two states after him, and quite possibly Jack Smith as well. Well, today, John Eastman decided to cry us a river. He's about to be tried by the California State Bar, and he showed up on that rickety podcast platform run by the guy who looks like rancid hot dog water smells. I think, yeah, Real America's Voice. Is that Stevie Three Shirts? I can't keep up. Now, this guy was once a respected lawyer. But now, you know, he's probably about to lose his license, maybe even go to jail. And he's trying to try the case in not even respectable media. I know, that's a problematic term. But in right-wing media. Behold the pissing and moaning.
Yeah, and the other thing I want to point out, they all say, well, we were using this to overturn the election and undermine the will of the people. No, we weren't, as you know well. We were trying to understand who the true winner was in order to bolster or enhance the will of the people. If there were illegal votes that were cast because of decisions by county clerks or state Supreme Court judges or secretaries of state, illegal votes that determine the outcome of the election, and if you count only the legal votes,
or the Lindbergh baby,
that's upholding the will of the people, not undermining it.
Amelia Earhart.
This big lie narrative that they keep fostering.
And hang on.
Yeah, it is Stevie Three Shirts. And we were only trying to enhance, not overturn, enhance. Curiously, they never tried to enhance any of the votes that were obviously legit and obviously pointed to the fact that, well, you know, Joe Biden won. He If you count only the legal votes, Trump would have won. That's upholding the will of the people, not undermining it. Well, good luck, John. Knock yourself out. Have a blast pleading that before the California State Bar. Kind of hope it's televised. Speaking of election deniers, welcome to Arizona, Stan. There's an empty Senate seat in the Arizona State Senate in roughly North Phoenix. And the people running to fill the seat, well, at least two of them are in cahoots with extremists. And the third one was trying to change the law of that state and in line with the independent state legislature theory, have the legislators just overturn election results. All of this is because a maggot named Stephen Kaiser said he was going to resign from his seat. I guess to spend more time with his family. I don't know. But the Lulus are lining up to try to get the, fill that seat. Yeah, he said, no, it was, he didn't, I'm not resigning because of anything I did in the legislature. I just want to spend more time with my family and be more involved in the Arizona Prosperity Project, my nonprofit. Because he's going to use the nonprofit to make sure there are more maggots in the Arizona State Senate because it's only got a one-member majority. In 2024, a Democrat by the name of Judy Schweibert will run for the seat. But the Lulus... Well, the Lulus include a woman named Bollock. And the Maricopa Board of Supervisors has to pick one of three candidates that the maggot precinct bosses have listed for them. Shauna Bollock ran for Secretary of State last year, finishing third in the GOP primary out of four. And she wrote legislation in 2021 that would have allowed the Arizona legislature to just say, screw everybody, we want Trump. She is married to Clint Bollock, who is a justice on the Arizona Supreme Court. Josh Barnett is another Lulu. He's a conspiracist relative to COVID-19, and a cue ball. He's run for Congress a couple of times, and he's a big suck-up to Carrie Lake. Big fan, Josh Barnett, of aquarium cleaner and horse paste for treating COVID-19. And, of course, although he later said, well, I didn't mean nothing but, has shared all kinds of cue ball nonsense. And then there's Paul Carver, who actually used to run a free percenter chapter. Yeah, later on he too said, well, I didn't realize who they really were, although he was actually the head of the entire local chapter.
I was just trying to find people who love the Constitution as much as I do.
These are the same free percenters who were involved in the domestic terror attack on the Capitol of the United States in 2021, January 6th. And he even had conversations with Ray Epps, who was the Arizona president of the Oath Keepers. Who may have led the attack on January 6th. But Carver went on to say, the post he put up on social media made it pretty clear that he was at the terrorist attack on the Capitol on January 6th. So one of those three people, and none of them are winners. None of those three people are fit to so much as water someone's dusty lawn in Phoenix. Is going to be a member of the state Senate. Oh, and then there's... there's the whistleblower, the IRS whistleblower. A guy by the name of Gary Shapley, who has barked and grunted that he wasn't allowed to properly pursue Hunter Biden. Well, he gave an interview to the CBS Evening News last night, and then today an actual expert on tax law, a lawyer by the name of Harry Littman, showed up on MSNBC and, well, dropped a rock on Gary Shipley.
From an IRS whistleblower and staff member, Gary Shapley, a member of the team that investigated Hunter Biden. Attorney General Garland and Trump-appointed U.S. Attorney David Weiss of Delaware, who was held over by the Biden White House to prosecute Hunter, have both strongly denied Shapley's claim that Weiss was blocked from bringing tougher federal charges against
your phone, Mrs. Greenspan.
But now Shapley, a 14-year IRS employee, is telling CBS News he was directed to avoid leads involving Joe Biden as early as the months leading up to his election victory. Let's watch.
There were certain investigative steps that we weren't allowed to take that could have led us to President Biden.
And you wanted to take them?
We needed to take them.
And you weren't allowed to take them?
That's correct.
Harry, you know Merrick Garland, and I don't know if you know David Weiss, but their denials have been fierce. And David Weiss was held over by the White House, even though he was a Trump appointee and all the other U.S. attorneys were replaced. It's precisely because he was supposed to be, you know, independent and not interfered with about Hunter, the president's son. And also there's plenty of reporting that the plea deal that he got was actually a more serious criminal charge than average people would have gotten. That said, what about this?
All that you've just said is
clearly true. It's very implausible for starters. Second, though, I'm a whistleblower lawyer. This guy is not a whistleblower. A whistleblower goes within the agency, follows the procedure, says something wrong has happened. This guy is just a complainer with maybe a political axe to grind or maybe just a professional.
Well, he was granted whistleblower status by the Republican-led Ways and Means Committee. That's why we called him that. Normally, I defer and I just say agent or officer, but...
I agree, although they're in a great sort of Orwellian run of calling anything, you know, they want to expunge the impeachment. Okay. All I'm saying is a whistleblower means someone who reports malfeasance in the agency, goes all through the process, is rebuffed. This guy is has a political grievance or maybe a professional one, but he's just one guy. He didn't go through any process. There's no corroboration, and it's implausible. That's my brief reaction.
Harry, that's why we're so glad we have you and your expertise. I really appreciate it. And Vaughn, it's invaluable to have you here, knowing Donald Trump the way you do. Thank you.
Thanks, Andrew.
And we have breaking news from Newfoundland, the new images of debris from the Titan submersible recovered by the...
I mean, you understand. He's not a whistleblower. He's a complainer. And then, of course, there was My Filthy Morning Habit this morning. Eugene Robinson does snark really well because he comes across as so likable. But sometimes, and they were discussing an opinion piece titled Trump Invited This Indictment by, wait for it, Karl Rove. And, listen.
But in the indictment, Trump's own assistant calls these the beautiful mind boxes and says, no, he wants those on Air Force One with him, like traveling with the documents. He genuinely and incorrectly believed they belonged to him personally.
Yeah, and in addition to being a bad person, Donald Trump is a deeply weird person. And you remember that point, in the indictment where he's talking to Evan Corcoran, his lawyer, right, and about the pluck him out conversation, and he's saying, I don't want anybody going through my boxes. I don't want you going through my boxes. It's almost a kind
they're
of
my boxes. Gollum
in
my
Lord
boxes.
Of the Rings right. moment. You know, my precious. He has this. It's like a hoarding instinct about these documents. Some sort of weird security blanket. Some sort of it boosts his ego and reminds him that he actually somehow became president of the United States. I don't know what it is about it, but it's pathological. In addition to being criminal.
You know, Gene. Also, Karl Rove goes on to say. This is all Donald Trump's fault. Republicans know it's Donald Trump's fault.
Yeah.
And yet
yeah.
they're acting like the worst progressives that they have contempt for trying to defund the police. And Karl Rove makes the point, hey, idiots, defunding the FBI, that's not any better than defunding San Francisco's police department.
Right, exactly, and they're taking these crazy positions that they don't believe in order to not offend Donald Trump's base. They think that their political careers are over if they offend the guy, and so they stick with him inexplicably because he's now facing these federal felony charges. There are going to be more felony charges. This is the guy they've decided they're going to. Stake their party's future on. I think that's a political mistake in addition to being a tragedy for the country. But they're there. They're not profiles in courage, that's for sure.
So, Chuck Rosenberg, it's hard not to chuckle a little bit when we're hearing these reports about him hoarding these boxes and dragging them all over the place and not letting anybody have them. But are we underestimating the gravity of the situation, calling these documents mementos?
Time out. I think, I don't know about the film literacy, of the people of the United States of America, and it's a very old movie, but it's a classic. Maybe if we stop referring to them as the boxes and instead start calling them, wait for it, the strawberries.
You can't have my strawberries. I have the strawberries. They're my strawberries. They're my strawberries with geometric precision.
I know. I'm an old. Sorry.
It seems to me they're a little bit more than mementos.
So
and it seems to me that, I mean, there's a lot of circumstantial evidence and things we're seeing around the edges here, family connections to Saudi Arabia, money changing hands, large amounts of it to family members. It seems to me these documents might have been not only highly classified and dangerous for Americans who are serving this country, but expensive if you're in the mood to sell them.
If Donald Trump were in the mood to sell them at some point.
Yeah, I think that's right, Mika. So, two things. First, what you're talking about goes to motive. And motive is always interesting. And as a prosecutor, if you can prove motive, all the better, because it helps the jury understand the case and why a defendant did what a defendant was alleged to have done. But you don't need...
Why was he obsessed with the strawberries? See?
Need it, right? The government doesn't have to show that he wanted to monetize these documents or he wanted to use it in some other nefarious way. They just have to show, as the statute requires, that he had this stuff and he unlawfully retained it. And by the way, point number two, and Elise and Richard both referred to this, the obstruction charges make that so much easier for the government. So in order to prove intent, you have to crawl into someone's mind. And I can imagine, and you know, Eugene is right, Mr. Trump is a weird guy. Crawling into his mind would be a really uncomfortable place to go. But the obstruction charges permit you to do that. They evince intent.
I swear to God, how many times here have we talked about the things between, in the thin gray settlings between his ears that slosh around and pass for brains? How many times have we talked about the shrieking of the spirochetes? Prophet is never welcome in her own land. No. I mean, the analysis is solid. It's just kind of wild to me that I feel like I'm listening to a transcript of the show from 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago.
They help the
government
meet the burden to show that the retention was unlawful and purposeful and not by accident or mistake. So when you take these two things together, right, the unlawful retention on one hand, the obstruction on the other, it would be nice to have motive, Mika. Mm-hmm. But as a legal matter, you don't need it. And by the way, if he was trying to sell this stuff, if he was trying to monetize it, if foreign governments were getting it to help the Trump family, the Trump organization make more dough, I think we would see other charges. I'm pretty confident
right.
We would. They're not there yet. Now, doesn't mean they don't get there, but they're not there yet. And so interesting to talk about, but as a legal matter, not mm-hmm. something the government has to prove.
Meanwhile, Matt in San Francisco, get out of his mind, Matt. It's scary in there, and there are like spiders and creepy crawly things. Run!
You see, Mark Milley, he thought he had me, but I had the boxes. The boxes proved my case. I showed everyone how the boxes proved how everyone was against me.
Sound of ball bearings clacking against each other in his hands. Yes! Yes! Matt gets it. Yes. And this kind of, my idea for the kimchi hot dog, Brother Deacon Asa, sort of reaching back in time during the program. Kimchi aioli, you heretic! That's where it's at! Oh, I'm all about some kimchi aioli. But on a hot dog? Ralph's suggesting, or maybe calling them my tapes. Like Nixon. Of course, you can't fault Eugene Robinson for saying, my precious. And his voice isn't far off from that of Gollum now, is it? No. Just gonna be a... strange summer, a strange fall. But it'll be interesting. And since we're close to the end of the program, y'all, by the way, we are at 21:25. And that number's not gonna change tomorrow because that's just to finish the month. 21:25 to finish June fully funded. I'm sorry to keep mentioning it. But thanks to everybody who's helped out this evening. But it's prayer meeting Wednesday, so let's check in with the Duggars. Remember the Duggars? Quiverful, you know, what was their creepy show? 14 kids and counting or something. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17. And remember how their son is presently doing hard time in prison for sexually molesting his sister? Right? Well, it turns out Anna Duggar's daddy is a Baptist preacher in North Texas. And, of course, since June, it saw the Juneteenth federal holiday. Well, somebody like Mike Keller, Anna Duggar's daddy, who preaches at the Fair Park Baptist Church in Fort Worth. Sorry, Joy. Among other things, has said that the domestic terror attack of January 6th on the Capitol was a federal inside job entrapment of patriotic Americans. And then he took off. Oh, dear God. Because, hey, y'all, this is American Christianity, okay? Until the normal and decent Christians start saying that people like Pastor, Brother, Minister Mike Keller aren't Christians at all, this is just American Christianity.
150 years ago, or 200 years ago, when the blacks were slaves, did they ever go to Washington, D.C. and have a rally 200 years ago to protest against slavery? No! What did they do? Good people on the plantations built churches for enslaved black people and loved them and taught them how to read so they can read the Bible.
It was illegal in slave states for enslaved people to learn how to read, and there was a reason for that.
No! Here's what the blacks did about 150 years ago. They humbled themselves. They prayed. They sought God's face, and they turned from their wicked ways, and God made slavery illegal through several white presidents. It worked, didn't it? They didn't protest.
Several white presidents? Several? Several. So much for the Underground Railroad, huh? So much for various slave uprisings. So much for Frederick Douglass. But as one article points out, one of the reasons that enslaved people were forbidden to learn how to read was the fear of the enslaving white wealthy men that they might learn about the Haitian battles for their own freedom. And no, the benevolent white enslavers were not out there building them houses and churches. They built those when they could, by their own labor. Story came out at the Daily Beast. Brooke Lee Howard saying, Keller also used his sermon to rail against California's abortion freedoms, praise Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and Texas Governor Greg Abbott for being God-fearing, and chastise Southern Florida's satanic strongholds. Oh, Jerry, did you know you're in a satanic stronghold? Well, that explains the Cuban pizza now, doesn't it? He also falsely claimed the U.S. voids passports from the Dominican Republic, which he called the Dominion Republic, because the DR has a ban on abortions. And then he entirely fucked up why the Puritans and Pilgrims left England for America, claiming they were burned at the stake for memorizing scripture. Oh, it was 19 kids and counting. And Josh Duggar is doing 12 years in prison for kiddie porn, child pornography. I don't think he actually went up for what he did to his sister at all. Because Jesus. Jesus! So that's the program. Thorn in the Side Thursday tomorrow. We'll be at 21:25 unless things lower via the good graces of the overnight crew. Stressful. But thank you to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thank you so very much. You're why this program exists. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Roger and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Head on .live. Remember, like and subscribe to the podcast, please. It really helps. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Stay safe. Wear your N95 masks for more than just the fact that the maggots are disease spreaders. So, too, are Canadian forest fires. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer, maintain your social distance, and, well, if the orange god emperor comes to your town talking about
my precious boxes,
avoid him like the plague, because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later.